We looked at a couple of hacker forums. One hacker, for example, posted a series of websites that he or she managed to get into and actually put up a couple of screenshots of, for example, the admin capability for some of these sites. We also saw examples posted by the hacker of how they actually broke into the sites. They used, sorry for using a technical term here, something called a SQL injection, which is basically a way of duping an application to cough up some of the contents of the database.
Hmm.
So we saw on the hacker forum some evidence that all this was going on. And what the hacker was doing was actually selling access to the site. So another hacker could, you know, make a purchase for, you know, $300-$400 or so, and then get access to an admin site. I'm sorry, to the admin site itself. And then what I suspect is that the hackers are probably hoping to use this as a platform for other attacks.
And we'll have a link. You have the screenshots posted on your blog, and we'll have a link to that on federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeck Insider, so folks can go, and you have a lot more technical details there as well. Walk us through this. Is this one of these things where passwords weren't changed from passwords kinds of things, or is this something more sophisticated that we're seeing?
It's a bit more sophisticated than just using a password attack. What you're seeing is somebody using the language of a database, and what they're doing is they're injecting that into a application like the pharmaceutical application that was one of the sites that was mentioned. And then because the site was built in an insecure fashion, the contents of the database were revealed to the hacker. And basically, the hacker was able to take control of the site. So this is not as sophisticated as it. This is much more sophisticated than a simple password attack.
And when because your headline talks about military hacked military websites for sale, were they actually trying to sell the site itself?
No, what they were doing is selling access to the site.
Okay.
So what you could do is you could, as a hacker, for example, let's go with the pharmaceutical website as an example. You know, lots of people get bogus emails about drugs for sale that are very inexpensive. And then, you know, more and more people are getting sophisticated, and they recognize, hey, this is coming from a site that I do not recognize. Now, if a hacker who has control of the U.S. Army pharmaceutical site would get in and then send you an email saying that, you know, you can buy cheap drugs here on this Army website, suddenly it looks a lot more legitimate. And you might be more willing to cough up the information and credit card information and so forth. And so in that way, a hacker can actually make some money and dupe a high volume of consumers.
And so what should folks do to protect them? Well, let me take a step back, because we're talking about DOD sites, but I've seen some reports that it was broader EDU sites also and .gov sites as well. How have you been able to tell how broad this is?
Yeah, it's affected a couple of dozen sites. So what this means is that the hackers probably use some automated attack capability. So they basically randomly sprayed a bunch of websites with some attack scripts, and the ones that they were able to penetrate were mostly the educational and military websites, which tells you that the government and the educational community really need to step up their security practices, because the question I wonder is, why were there no .com sites?
Yeah. And so there is a sort of line behind the surface here is, hold on, there are no .com sites, so there's something almost intrinsically insecure, at least that they're finding in a lot of these .mil, .gov sites.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Exactly the point.
What should folks be doing? What should security folks be doing? What should general users be doing? Does this impact them, first off?
Well, unfortunately, the general users, it's really, really tough for them to do something. This is something that, you know, pretty much beyond their control. So they basically need to be very, very cautious if they get emails about, you know, drugs that are just ridiculously inexpensive,
right,
and so forth. You know,
I get about 70,000 of those a week, so I just don't pay attention to any of them. But if that's something that you're used to getting, you need to look twice at them. You need to think carefully.
Right, but I think the bigger and much, much, much more important message here goes out to the educational and government community about securing websites and web applications. You know, I think one interesting thing that I've always talked about is that in the private sector around credit cards, there's a regulation called PCI, Payment Card Industry, and a lot of people don't like it, a lot of people do like it, but I do think whether you love it or hate it, it's had a tremendous effect on the security of the private sector and commercial sites that transact credit cards. And so it requires that you have some bare minimum type of security capabilities in place. This does not apply to government, and this does not apply to educational websites. And I would hope that there's a lesson here for the government as they try to figure out what's the right method to get government infrastructure secure, that they would actually take a lesson from the private sector and adopt a lot of the PCI standards that Amazon and all the other big commercial websites have to follow.